Hey gang, welcome back for this week's episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. And I want to begin by glad to be back after a couple of weeks off. It was my 18th wedding anniversary recently, and my wife and I went on a trip to Paris together. So that caused me to miss a week, and then I kind of got caught up in other things and missed another week. But hey, we're back on schedule, and we've got the next 3 weeks planned out. So, you know, here we go. So, listen, this week I'm talking to Dr. Stephen Hernandez, whose practice is just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And you know how oftentimes we hear about people saying that, hey, my practice has grown and doubled, and, you know, I bought technology, CEREC specifically, I bought Comebeam, and I built a new office. And we always have questions about how did that happen? What caused that to happen? What was our mindset in doing that? So I sit down with Steve on a recent visit. He was here attending one of our sleep apnea training programs with 3D dentists. And I got the opportunity to sit down face to face with Stephen. And we had a conversation about his practice journey over the last about 10 years. From the time he bought his practice until today, how technology has played a role in that, how building a new facility has played a role in that. And I think what is really important and kind of the message that I'm trying to send everyone is that we have to kind of make changes. We have to understand what's going on in our market, what's going on in our industry, and we have to put things in place that take time, that aren't easy, sometimes are hard, but help us reach a destination. And oftentimes that destination isn't what we expected or wasn't what we planned exactly, but we're super happy with it. So let's talk with Steve this week and see kind of how his practice growth journey has occurred. And I'll look forward to seeing you on a future episode. Tell me what's happened in your practice.
So in 2008, I purchased a practice.
2008, so 10 years ago.
Yes, and literally opened it, purchased it, started it, took over control January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 2008, right during the height of the recession. So that office is producing net production, well into PPO, DMO as well, four ops total, 1,100 square feet, one bathroom, you know, open concept. And we're producing about 50,000 a month.
So 600 grand a year.
Yep. And that's net product.
Before the recession.
Product. Correct. And that's actually static 2008, 2009, 2010.
That's fluctuating. Pretty good for monthly. You not to have a downturn during
not
that time.
Not too bad. And so it was 51 to 53.
Okay.
We purchased CEREC in October of 2010.
Okay.
And I did not want to have a big learning curve. 3.8 software is a little different. So I said, hey, I need to invest in the technology. Don't want to be somebody who buys it, uses it, puts it in the corner. You know, it doesn't work for them. It's for sale on eBay. So I invest in the technology, invest in myself, attend the courses, get better. 2011, the entire year, we ended up with about 71 or 73,000 per month.
Okay.
40% growth.
Okay.
1 year.
50 to 70.
Yeah. So no additional hygiene, no additional hours, no additional procedures.
Some of that growth is because of the natural progression.
The natural progression, yes. Natural growth progression.
So maybe let's call half of your growth from that, half from having technology and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. But it was definitely something significant.
Okay.
So 2011, that's the standard.
Yeah.
2011 to 2016, we went up to 105.
Okay.
No associate.
70 to 105, yeah.
So now we've added Comebeam.
It's interesting.
So it's adding procedures.
Okay. When did you add Comebeam?
January of 2013.
Okay. Were you scared when you bought that?
Hell yes. Matter of fact, I thought at the time, I'm not placing implants. Mm-hmm. I was not. But I saw on CEREC doctors, a lot of people are using it in addition to that for diagnosing root canals, for pathology, for this, for that. You're finding additional procedures. You're doing more services for your patient. You're treating your patient more comprehensively. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it.
So that was a goal of yours, is to be a more complete dentist?
No, at the time, even prior to that, my goal was just to know how to restore implants.
Okay.
When the surgeon would call me and say, take an open tray impression, grab your lab analog transfer coping.
But cone beam had nothing to do with that.
No. At the time I thought, I can't do this. Okay. So I start learning about implants. But remember, I was going down to Scottsdale to learn about CEREC.
Right.
And I saw the big demo. And that's for the oral surgeons, the all on four, sure, such as yourself, the J Resnick. This is not for me in Podunk, Nashville, 1,100 square feet. So
Nashville's not so podunk anymore. But
you're correct. Yeah. At the time, I thought in the West Nashville, I thought there's no way. So as I start looking into it, I said, this can work. And I wanted to start implementing implants. And the first one I tried was freehand.
Right.
Guideless, if you will. True story, I take the course just because it's free.
Yeah.
And I said, I just want to touch and feel because I learned by touch and feel. And
dentists.
I know, right. I know why they have it for free, because they want me to buy stuff. I'm not going to buy anything.
Right.
I left with an implant motor. I bought it all. I was a sucker they were looking for. I came out with my hands full. Yeah. I said to myself, anybody.
Kid in a candy store.
Oh, man, it was great. I said, anybody missing a congenitally missing a nerve or a sinus Monday?
Yeah.
You're my patient, right? They're going to be lined up out the door. So in the entire year of 2012, I placed one implant.
Right.
And it was my college roommate. I've got the instructions taped up. It's Friday. We're closed. Pucker factor high, stomach lining. And I thought, this took, let's say an hour, not seconds, an hour or two to do the implant. But at the same token, I thought, I can't implement this in the practice. It's not predictable. It's going to mess up my entire workflow of the entire day. Yeah. There's no way. So I thought, if I really want to do this, and almost to your, what you used to say, if you're going to do something, do it at least as well as a specialist. That's the standard.
That's a base standard.
Right. And I said, if I'm going to do that, I need to grab everything. I need to get educated and I need to have the tools and use the crutch, as you said, the guide. I said, okay, time to buy the cone beam. So that's what prompted that. So I was not, I placed one implant, but I thought, I'm not buying this because I'm already placing 30 or 50 or 20.
You're buying it because you want
to.
You know, it's interesting. So many people, they don't understand that mentality that it's, you do this. So many people say, I got to get the education, all of this stuff first. And I'm like, dude, just get the technology that helps you and it pushes you to get that education because it's going to force you to do it.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
And I think in 2013, I placed four.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2014, it was like 16. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's been incremental, exponential, if you will, growth.
Right. Yeah.
And so by the end of 2016, we were doing 100 and 305 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we were busting at the seams. It was painful because we couldn't fit all the patients in the two operative chairs. Okay. So there was a time when it was just one assistant and myself. And then at the end, it's two assistants and myself with two hygiene. But we just simply couldn't accommodate the patients. So at that point, I need to make a decision. Slow down, keep that low rent, because in Nashville, it was maybe $2,000 a month in rent.
Not much.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Killing it.
You keep saying Nashville. You're a little outside of Nashville.
Outside of Nashville.
Because most people that are listening from Nashville know that rent's not
$2,000. In 2008, so that's what I was paying my rent. So, and that's in Bellevue. So about 15, 20 minutes to the west. And so I thought to myself, it's either A, time to build out, or it's B, time to slow it down, make it to where I can actually do this long-term, because it was killing me, if you will. Felt like I got my butt kicked at the end of the month. Great production, great profit, but I didn't know what the sustainability was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just thought, what about my daughter? And of course you've got your own building. So and other people. And anyway, it just worked out where there was some land for sale and I purchased it and built out about 5,000 square feet total.
So you went from 1,100 square feet to 5,000 square feet?
Went from 1,100 to 32, the other 3,800, the other 1,200 is leasable space.
Okay.
So we went from four ops total to eight,
okay,
a surgical suite, actually have a break room, my personal office, things I'd never had in my entire life. And from that part, it went up to 150,000 a month. And so it just continued to grow. Now it's about being more efficient. Last year we were at 82 or 83 new patients a month. And again, that was getting painful to the point that we thought, hey, it's time to break into the other lease space.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it's growing again. How do you want to practice as a dentist, right? What makes you happy? I like a small mindset where you know your patients. I shouldn't say small mindset, but hometown feel.
Right.
My patients have babysat my kids. They've painted my office. They've painted my home. They have my personal cell number. I still wanted to keep that.
The personality of your practice.
Right, absolutely. And I felt if we kept getting much bigger, we were going to lose that. So we quit almost entirely advertising. It's all word of mouth, internal, least expensive type.
Right.
Let's go ahead and cultivate
very
that.
Very sustainable type.
Right, let's cultivate that. And so far we're maintaining 45, 50 new patients a month. And it's something that's comfortable. And now we need to focus on implementing procedures and treating the patients we have, i.e. sleep, which is why I'm here this weekend. So another procedure.
If you're confused about how to grow your practice, then you need to hear the rest of this message. Listen, the ways of the 1980s and the 1990s simply do not work anymore. You have to be different. And the way to be different in today's competitive environment is not doing more of the same thing that everybody else is doing, but adding new services to your practice. If you're looking for a solution that's logical, practical, and full of business tips to how to implement strategies into your practice to add new services, then you need to look at my company, 3D Dentists. We provide fantastic training that will help you grow your practice by adding new services to your existing patient base. If you want to learn more, all you got to do is visit www.3d-dentists.com and look around and see what's right for you. If you have any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. Now let's get back to our show. How's bringing in an associate been for you?
This time was good. I tried in the other office for just a few months. Square feet office. I said, let's bring you in. And I
was a Siamese twin attached to you.
And I said, you'll start out at just Fridays. And in my head, I was figuring we would just have one chair. And I had this grandiose vision. And it worked.
It's hard to bring them in when you're not there.
Yes. And that's what I tried to do and not be there at all. And it was a horrible idea. Yeah. And it lasted a few months. And we parted ways amicably. And
semi-amicably, but yeah.
We're still friends. We still talk.
Yeah. I know. And nobody likes it at the time.
No. Yeah. It wasn't a good conversation. When I moved into the other office, it was for about the first month or two, it was just me. 8 ops. Let's see what's going to happen. And it was actually comfortable. So even though I found that we were producing, let's say the first month, it was 105, 110, about what we did in the other office. And I thought, well, it doesn't hurt anymore. I don't feel dead at the end of the day.
Right.
I remember a patient specifically came in for an implant surgery a day ahead of time. In the other office, I had 2 chairs. I had to be on time, precise. And I thought, no big deal. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and actually, you know what? No problem. You came a day early. If you're okay waiting in the surgical suite, we'll get to you today. And we were able to go ahead and accommodate the patient. And I thought, wow, we could have never done that in the other office. So at that point, we looked.
It's amazing thing what capacity does for us.
Huge.
Opportunity cost.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now we're paying the note on the office and everything like that.
But you went, what is your note now? $6,000, $7,000 a month?
No. For $5,000 for about a $2 million office for all the
$2 million. Okay. Yeah. So you're at $15,000,
$16,000,
$18,000.
$13,000. Yeah. So it was expensive.
Yeah.
And that was with the land and everything.
But that's land and equipment.
Equipment, land, everything rolled into
one. Yeah. But so I don't want to count the equipment. I want to count the real estate. The real estate, you went from $2,000 real estate note, which was your rent, to your real estate was probably what, $1.3 million in this?
The acre that I bought, the 1.2 acre, was $400,000.
And then how much was the actual building?
Something like that. And then 1.6 something.
So that's $2
million. 1.3. I wish I could tell you the exact number. I'd have to look at it. I'm just going off the top of my head. I brought the old 4 chairs. So I brought 4 new chairs. Mm-hmm. I brought the CEREC. I added 1 new CEREC, 1 new milling unit.
But that's all part of the chairs. $2 million.
Yes. That was in there.
So I want to take out all, I just want to go from real estate to real estate.
I haven't given it that much thought. So
my guess will be you probably spent $500,000 on equipment.
Sounds about right.
I guess. Yeah. So your real estate cost is $1.5 million in this situation. So you're probably... You went from a $2,000 rent to probably about a $9,000 mortgage on the real estate alone. Okay.
And then this year we started out and also working with Spear Practice Solutions. Yeah. Now we're averaging about 173.8, something like
good.
That. But it's early year, first quarter.
Yeah.
So is it sustainable? We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Right. We don't know.
So now it's now things are in play and now you've gotten to that. If I've seen you illustrated before, the different phases of dentistry, emotional dentistry. What do you want to do? What makes you happy? So now for me, my work day is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, done at noon on Thursday.
Yeah. So you've gone from working 4 days a week to working 3.5 days a week.
Matter of fact, in the other office, I was up to 5.
Okay. So you've gone from working 5 days a week to 3.5 days a week.
Yes.
So to me, okay, the numbers are great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Went from 60 to 170 a month, whatever. Right. But to me, that's only part of the picture. Okay.
Right.
To me, the real important part of the picture is the professional transformation.
That's huge.
Yeah, but, you know, going from doing anything that walked in the door to now being able to pick and choose the dentistry, do more of the dentistry you wanted to do,
right?
Do things that you never thought you would be doing, and that to me is the real awesome part of this.
Right. The numbers aren't there to wow anybody. I'm sure their numbers are pale in comparison to some of the people I know, including yourself.
Well, it's
not that.
But ultimately, the numbers don't matter. It's the profitability that matters and the happiness factor.
True. And for me, I remember there was a patient a couple of weeks ago. She was coming in and she hadn't been in a while and it was ready to do number 29 and let's go. And I thought, wait a minute, we've lost some vertical. This crown's going to look like crap. It's not going to go well. It's just here for a hygiene visit. We haven't seen you in a while. And instead of, let's do it. I need, quote unquote, need that crown. Let's stop. You're not going to be happy. I'd love to talk about this with you in length. Let's bring you back. So we've got the photos. We've got this. Let me show you how this crown is not going to look good. We've got the super eruption. Mm-hmm. And from that part right there, we've gone into ortho, implants, and everything else.
It's amazing what happens when you slow down a little bit.
Right. And that was it. Instead of chasing, as we talked about earlier, chasing that penny, let's slow down. I know it's, you know, you've got to come back, but let's talk about it comprehensively. Yeah. Let's go slow.
That to me is a what I call giving people choices. Mm-hmm. You know, let's give them a choice. Hey, Steve, listen, we got a couple of choices. Okay. We can take care of this crown, the most urgent need that you want. Or in addition to that, we can take a step back, take a look at everything that's going on, put together a long-term plan so that we can be logical about this and get the best result possible. Which would you prefer?
Right.
You know, and some patients say, I just want to take care of this, and you do that.
Great. Yeah.
Some patients will say, hey, I want to slow down. I want to step back. I want to take a look at the whole thing. And then you get them into more complete dentistry.
Right. And something I heard, and I don't know who gave it. You may have given it to me or somebody else. And if they say no to something, so, well, when you say no to that, here's what you're saying yes to. And it's great verbiage.
Yeah. You know, and ultimately our job is to let people know the benefits of what we want to do, the consequences of not doing anything. And then our real job is to support whatever decision they make.
Right. And for me, like you said, going back to that, are you happy? Mm-hmm. Do you feel fulfilled? Are you able to spend more time with your family and attend your children's that, take vacation? Absolutely. So could I work harder, longer? Sure. Do I need or want to? No. Now it's what fulfills me. What's the next thing I want to master is the wrong word. Like you said, we're still always learning, still getting better at everything I do. But what's the next facet of this profession that I want to bring into the practice?
Yeah.
And at that point, am I done? Maybe. Because honestly, going back to something, a few years ago, prior to the cone beam, you want to place implants? I do not.
Yeah.
And now I did. And when I bought my first cone beam, the XG, the limited 8x8 field, hey, do you want to get something bigger? And I said, no, absolutely not. I don't want to do airway. That doesn't interest me at all. Yet here I am in your course.
Yeah, right.
And this past October,
we don't know, right?
You don't know. Yeah. I keep saying no to things that I eventually find, you know what, that interests me. The thing that I'm saying no to now that I'm concerned about is still the all on X treatment plan, your hybrids. Yeah.
It's amazing how much simpler that's gotten.
Are you confused by all the implant messaging out there? Are you worried about which implant to choose, what kit to choose, what tie base to use, when to use what, when to send it to the lab, when to mill with your CEREC machine, when to print guides, when to mill guides, when all of these things happen? You're not alone. It's getting noisier and noisier out there today. And what you need is a simple solution with a consistent workflow that simply works. At 3D Dentists, we teach how to do digital implant dentistry, leveraging your CEREC technology and leveraging your cone beam technology in a proven workflow that is efficient, predictable, and profitable. You owe it to yourself to take one of our workshops by visiting 3D Dentists at www.3d-dentist.com and learn more about what we're teaching. I look forward to seeing you at one of our workshops. Now, let's get back to the show.
And I would argue that you don't need to do the surgery to do those cases.
The restorative simply.
No.
Okay.
Owning the patient. In other words, hire somebody to do the surgery. Outsource the surgery.
Okay.
Remember I said you outsource before you insource?
Right.
So take that mentality to the All-in-X, the full arch hybrid. Okay. So in other words, what's holding you back from doing those cases is the surgery, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so bring somebody in to do the surgeries for you.
And also, and I don't know enough about it, the restorative, the lab, the process.
Listen, that shit's changed today.
Okay.
I can show you unbelievable ways to do those cases. Okay. I can get those cases down to 5 visits for you from beginning to end in a very predictable manner.
Okay.
And if you don't want to do the surgery, no problem. We'll bring somebody in to do the surgery. Sully will come over and do it. Will come over and do the surgeries. You know, they'll be happy to do it. And you see, to me...
Talk about expanding the space.
Yeah. Not yet.
No.
Yeah, you should. You should. Well, I would argue that you should bring a specialist in because they get paid more. They can do things that you're not going to do. And you can make money while they work and you do nothing. You know, so I would never make it against you to bring a specialist in. I think it'd be smart if you could find a specialist to come in. It'd be massively a wise decision to do that. It'd be great. I need one. If I could find a specialist right now, I would. I don't care what kind of specialist. Minus endo and prost. That's the only specialist I wouldn't bring in. I'd bring a specialist in a heartbeat. But I can show you how to do those cases if you just hire somebody to do the surgeries for you, and you can be massively profitable doing them. Massively profitable doing them. Because that's how I started off with those cases. I outsourced the surgery before I insourced the surgery.
And I remembered the oral surgeon you worked with at the time.
I would just pay him to do the surgery.
Yeah.
And it's worked out great for us.
You were still working with the same guy you worked with years
ago? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Great guy. So, he does the surgeries for me on many of the cases. And I do some of the surgeries myself now. And it's worked out great. But I don't think you have to wait until you're ready to do the surgery to tackle those cases. In fact, I would argue you should tackle them before you're ready to do the surgery and learn from somebody else doing the surgeries for you.
You know what? It's never been... Honestly, the whole thing about it has probably been lack of knowledge, because mm-hmm. I don't want to say the surgeries kept me mm-hmm. out of it. You don't have enough knowledge on how to do the case entirely mm-hmm. at all. And the restorative component's always the pictures or verbiage I've heard mm-hmm. has been like, nah, I want something that's more predictable. Now from you saying, mm-hmm. no, that's actually something that's predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perhaps. But there you go.
Anytime that somebody says predictable, they automatically think trouble-free. And there's trouble.
No, right? There's always trouble. Yeah, there's always things you have to
80% of the time, 80, 90% of the time, it's pretty predictable. Right. You know, and there's always here and there, there's something that doesn't go exactly right. Mm-hmm. We can show you unbelievable ways of doing those types of cases.
Well, then you'll see me get another course.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I believe what we do in our edentulous class, the real winner of people that attend our edentulous class are the general dentists who don't want to do the surgery, but want to add that service to their practice and learn to outsource the surgery part. That's the real winner in the fixed hybrid person. It's not the person that wants to do the surgery. Sure, they win a little bit more. But to me, the person that's not doing the surgery and adds a service to their practice is the real winner in this. So, yeah, I mean, it's all possible. And technology exists that make it easier. Mm-hmm. Technology exists that make it predictable. And you have all of that technology in your practice. And you're just not utilizing it. You're too busy doing suckdowns. I had to throw that in there.
Hey, man, full mouth sealants are the way to go.
Listen, they're highly profitable. Totally outsourceable. You can have an assistant do it from beginning to end. Steve, it's wonderful. I don't know how usable this will be with all that noise and golf in the background.
We'll see you,
but I enjoyed the conversation.
Hey, man, always good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to you, man.
If you've taken sleep apnea training to only get back to your practice and not be able to reap the benefits, then you need to listen to this message. I've teamed up with Dr. Aaron Elliott, and we provide a level one sleep training that's focused on implementation. It's not focused on all the science. It's not focused on all the things that could possibly go wrong or go right. It's focused on how do I get my team on board and how do I make this a part of my practice that's not complicated. So if you're looking for sleep apnea training that just gets you started, that's down to business, that's not full of any fluff, then you need to take our level one implementation program. You can find out more by visiting www.3d-dentists.com and look for our sleep apnea implementation program. We look forward to seeing you at a seminar soon.